To understand where sin came from, we have to go back to Genesis. God made us in His image. We read in Genesis 1, 26 to 27. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. We were created in His image. But that image was marred in the garden through the entrance of sin. Several weeks ago, we looked at the problem of evil, noting Satan's part in this. Here in the garden, Satan, the serpent, wants to make Adam and Eve his image bearers rather than God's. As he comes to tempt them, he first adds to what God has told them, making the command more onerous. And then he gets them to question whether God really said what he did. And finally, he tells them, God is wrong, suggesting that God is deceiving them in order to keep them under his thumb. And who did they listen to? The serpent. They doubted, and then they rebelled. And as a result of what transpired in the garden, we are born estranged from a good, good father. Romans 5:12 tells us, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. There is currently an article on Yahoo Finance reporting that, according to a cybersecurity firm, over 30 different Android smartphones and tablets have been found to have malware pre-installed on them. Malware are malicious programs that can perform a variety of functions, including stealing, encrypting, or deleting your data. And according to these findings, the malware were already present on the devices even before the users received them. So be aware if you have any of those. The malicious apps were not part of the official program that was supplied by the vendor. They were added somewhere along the supply chain, added by a malicious actor to the device. They couldn't be removed by the user, and the device had to be reflashed. The report continued to say pre-installed malware comprised the security even of the most careful users. However, users can protect themselves by downloading and running a malware scanner as soon as they first fire up their new device. I think this presents us with a wonderful modern-day parable. We have been pre-installed with sin. God did not create us this way. It was added by a malicious actor. Due to the inherited original sin, we can relate with what the Apostle Paul said that was quoted on the film there. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Just as the manufacturers of the phones and tablets must cleanse what they have built, so the Lord cleanses us of our sinfulness. We have to be reflashed. Later on in chapter 7 of Romans, Paul says, "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because of sin, relationship with God was damaged. After Adam and Eve sinned, they hid from God. They were ashamed. And then Genesis 3:21 tells us that God made garments of skin to clothe Adam and Eve. To get skins, an animal would have been killed. And we get here a picture of a covering that was needed to be provided. And Jesus, as the Lamb of God, was a sacrifice providing the covering for us. His sacrifice, he then took away the sin of the world. Jesus was the only one who was competent to undo the effect of Adam's fall. He is the only one who can reflash us. As death entered the world through Adam's disobedience, new life comes through Christ in obedience. Christ's obedience. John 5:16-17 tells us, "For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ." Sin deeply affects us. It weighs us down. It damages us and affects our relationships. In verse 16 in Genesis chapter 3, you may recall that God says to Eve, "In pain you will give birth." And I've often kind of wondered about this. My daughter Abigail is a midwife. Not everyone experiences a lot of pain. Most of the time, it's pretty manageable. So is this really physical pain? Well, Michael Horton makes this comment. "The increased pain she experienced undoubtedly included the emotional stress of bringing children into a world that is now fallen and would be increasingly filled with violence, deprivation, and depravity." God then reveals that Eve also experienced disruption in her relationship with Adam. Discord with God moves into discord with our fellow human beings, including a husband and wife. Yesterday, I had the privilege of officiating for the marriage of Rachel Yaroshuk and Tony Chung. It was a special day for them, and so wonderful to be able to be part of that celebration. But we also realize that as you look ahead, you know there will be struggles. And I liked how Horton summed all of this up. He says, "The entire covenantal fabric of human life has now become brittle and broken. To be sure, childbirth and marriage remains joyful experiences because God has not utterly abandoned humanity to its own devices. The order and purpose of God's creation remain, upheld by God's hand. And yet these common gifts are a mixed blessing. They involve pain and futility. Creation itself now turns its back on those who have turned their back on their covenant Lord. The power of sin was broken through the cross. Jesus died instead of you and me. He bore our guilt and our shame. And the reason for the cross is God's immense love for us. We have infinite value to God. He sacrificed himself for us. That's how much you are loved." And Jesus gives us an illustration of this in the story of the prodigal son. We can run into his arms. He loves us. He holds us, reconciles us. He sets us free. 1 Peter 2:4 in the Message says, "He used his servant body to carry our sins to the cross so we could be rid of sin, free to live the right way. His wounds became your healing. You were lost sheep with no idea who you were or where you were going. Now you're named and kept for the good shepherd of your souls." There may still be things that we struggle with. But he's working in us. So there are two theological terms that I would like us to consider this morning. The first is justification. This is a term that's used in law courts. Just think of a person being on trial. When we appear before God, we are anything but innocent. We are utterly guilty. But God, in his amazing love and mercy, reckons us as if we are innocent. This happens instantly. We are put right with God. I heard one definition years ago for justification as just as if I had never sinned. It changes our whole relationship with God. We are now set free. And after stating that we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard in Romans 3, verses 24 to 25 goes on to say, "Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. His death on the cross paid for our sins. And when we receive his forgiveness, we no longer have to be afraid. We are no longer estranged. We're now in a right relationship with God. We are his children, trusting in our Father's love for forgiveness. But we see that, yes, we still are erring children. We are not perfect. And that's where the next theological term comes in, that of sanctification. Justification is immediate. Sanctification is a much longer process. Sanctification is a translation of a Greek word meaning holiness or separation. To sanctify something is to set it apart for special use. To sanctify a person is to make them holy. Sanctification is the process of making us like Jesus. In John 17:17, where Jesus has this wonderful prayer that he's praying for us, he says, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth." If you were here a couple of weeks ago, we considered the importance of the Bible and noted just how necessary it is for us to study God's word. Well, sanctification is realized by the application of his word. As we trust in Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, he guides our steps into a life that not only pleases him, but fills us with love, joy, and peace. God grants us justification, a once-for-all positional holiness in Christ. Then, God guides us to maturity, a practical, progressive holiness. This morning, if you have not received this incredible gift of forgiveness through Christ, he is waiting there with open arms for you. We can try to be good, we can try to live a good life, but we will fall short. We will never be good enough. That malware has to be dealt with. And no matter what we have done, God reaches out and offers us salvation and a relationship with him. It's a free gift that you just have to receive. It's saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Forgive me. I invite you into my life." And if you have received that justification, it doesn't just end there. We can receive continual forgiveness for those places that continue to trip us up and grow into his likeness. Part of that process is acknowledging the sin in our lives and confessing it to him. Now, here are some questions that I would like you to consider this morning. In an effort to protect your image, have you been tempted to minimize or explain away or hide the true face of your sin? Are you resting completely in what Christ has done for you, not obsessing about your failures or putting stock in your own performance? And are you resting in your identity as God's beloved child, trusting in his love for you? As we close this morning, I want to provide an opportunity for you to pray by yourself. And then after a minute or so, the worship team will lead us in a song of response. So let's close your eyes, and just before I give you a chance to pray, I want to read to you something from a book called Jesus Calling. So just consider this God speaking to you. "I speak to you from the depth of your being. Hear me saying soothing words of peace, assuring you of my love. Do not listen to the voices of accusation, for they are not from me. I speak to you in love tones, lifting you up. My spirit convicts cleanly, without crushing words of shame. Let the Spirit take charge of your mind, combing out tangles of deception. Be transformed by the truth that I live within you. The light of my presence is shining upon you in benedictions of peace. Let my light shine in you. Don't dim it with worries or fears. Holiness is letting me live through you. Since I dwell in you, you are fully equipped to be holy. Pause before responding to people or situations, giving my spirit space to act through you. Hasty words and actions leave no room for me. This is aesthetic living. I want to inhabit all your moments. Grace your thoughts, words, and behavior. So take a moment to respond yourself.